This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Shamila Ganesan. Tonight, the problems with our food supply and prices.
First, we find out how F&B players are going to be affected by the rising costs of food. Then, how can we build a stronger food security safety net?
So we want to hear from you on both those fronts, actually. Are you worried about the rising price of food? How would you like to see the government tackle this issue? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and I guess we should start off by officially dubbing ourselves the bad news bears, because that's essentially what we're going to do now for about 3 minutes. If you cannot take more bad news in your day to day, then I would suggest maybe returning for the interview.
Yes, so we're already hearing about issues, supply chain disruptions with things like corn and grain and vegetables. Chicken, of course, is something that we've been hearing about a lot recently. So a number of things that have been put in place locally to deal with these current as well as impending challenges. So yesterday it was announced that Malaysia will be halting exports of 3.6 million chickens a month starting from the 1st of June. This is expected to affect Singapore, which sources a third of its supply from Malaysia. Last week, the approved permit rules for certain food imports, including chicken, cabbage, and evaporated milk, were also abolished. This is so that we have adequate food supply. They've also introduced ceiling prices for certain food items. Chicken currently has been pegged at 8 ringgit and 90 cents per kg. Meanwhile, 1 kg of polybag cooking oil is subsidized to control the price at 2 ringgit 50 cents. Those are just some of the measures. However, I think this has brought up larger questions of long-term food security.
Yeah. So Tan Sri Raymond Navaratnam, chairman of the Center for Public Policy Studies, told The Sun that there is a need for more agriculture-driven policy. So a lot of suggestions coming through. Meanwhile, we also have Dr. Barjoya Bardai, who is an economist professor emeritus, saying that a short-term strategy is needed to avoid further surges, suggesting, for example, that we extract Nipah palm instead of importing sugar, urging the government to focus on Kedah, Terengganu and Kelantan to ensure that the future food supply chain is not disrupted. So, you know, if we look at the situation, I think what's becoming clear is that it's a multi-pronged issue, right? On the one hand, you have the existing worries about the existing prices of food and the ways that they are fluctuating, or the ways in which the ceiling prices are, the ways in which the prices in general are going up, right? And a lot of these food items are everyday food items, and that's always cause for concern. On the other hand, you have, like you said, this larger issue of food security and food security distributed across different states, because that's also something to be wary of.
And I think we cannot forget that this is also happening against the backdrop of 2 years of economic issues caused by the pandemic. We're also looking at things like the war in Ukraine, which is affecting global supply chains. We're not going to see solutions to many of these issues for a while. So I think when we talk about food security, you're absolutely right. We have to look at it not just from the perspective of how can we manage these current challenges that we're facing, but what is a longer term safety net that we can rely on when things get tough, when things that we can't foresee might happen?
Are you worried about the rising prices of food? How would you like to see the government tackle this? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be checking in with Stephen Lee, who runs a restaurant, to talk basically about how his business has been affected by this. So keep those thoughts coming and keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the issues with our food supply and prices with ongoing headlines surrounding things like chicken and cooking oil. We want to speak basically to F&B industry players to find out how it is that they will be affected by this before we then go on to talk about whether how we can build a stronger food security safety net. We'd like to hear from you though. Are you worried about the rising costs of food? How would you like to see the government tackle this? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have, before we get to our guest, this message from Norman.
So Norman says, I'm more concerned until when can Malaysia be self-reliant in food supply? This should be the priority to the government.
And that is absolutely the point that was being made by the experts that we were quoting earlier, and also something we're going to be exploring later, right? Because as we said earlier, what is it? 60% of our food needs is imported. And that's why when the food supply chain is problematic, as it is currently, we also see such tremendous shocks to the prices and supply in our country.
Yes, and this is something that gets brought up quite often as well, right? The fact that we actually have a lot of potential when it comes to our ability to feed ourselves, and yet we're not necessarily capitalizing on that to the full extent.
So again, we're talking today about the rising cost of food in our country and also issues with things like supply shortages. We'd like to hear from you. Are you worried about the cost of food going up? How would you like to see the government tackle this? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. First, though, we wanted to get the perspective of a restaurant owner. So joining us now is Stephen Lee, owner of Taimada Restaurant. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hi.
So firstly, have you been noticing issues with supplies and price hikes?
Yes, definitely. For the last few months, it's something that we can't avoid.
So how has this affected you and your business?
For the last 2 years, we have been increasing our selling price. And this is definitely not a nice thing to do because it will definitely turn away our regular customers.
And just, you know, because we have made this transition right into the, or we are in the transition towards the endemic phase, have you noticed more people coming out to eat since May 1st? Have you been able to keep up with the demand?
Yes and no, because I believe that a lot of people are traveling at the moment, but dining out is, yes, definitely there are people dining out also.
So if you could take us through your process for inventory and stocking your kitchen. So for example, placing orders, having ingredients come in, what's that process like?
Definitely for process of inventory and stocking of kitchen, we try to buy bulk from suppliers so that we'll get better pricing. For raw ingredients, we try to compare prices from different suppliers so that we will source for the cheapest one to actually maintain our selling price.
And are there particular items or ingredients that are in short supply or are more expensive at the moment?
Yes, the pork is very expensive at the moment because at times it can be short supply. If you bring back like a couple of months ago, we did have some egg shortages in the market. So we have to actually kind of hoard, you know, run around and actually find stock for our eggs and, you know, store them to be careful with our stock at the moment. And of course, yeah, like this week, as we are talking, some prices for our vegetables have gone up as well.
Are you anticipating that more ingredients might join that list?
Looking at the current situation, it is not surprising if more ingredients would join that list. You can take a look at cooking oil now. It's priced at like 40 to 50 ringgit for a bottle of 5 litres.
And you mentioned that you've had to raise the price, right, for your customers.
Yeah.
What else
yeah.
have you had to adjust? I mean, do you, for example, do daily different vegetables or have you had to change your menu?
We don't really change our menu because our regulars really have their favorite dishes, so it's a bit difficult for our operation. But maybe for like economy rice, you know, mixed rice and all that, they could possibly do it because ours is more of a focused dish. Like as an example, basil leaf minced chicken, deep fried garlic pork. So we can't really substitute much of the ingredients in the dishes that we serve.
And how have your customers reacted to, you know, some of these changes, whether it's a change in price or other changes you've implemented?
From the change in price, definitely we have lost a few customers, but those who stopped coming to us, some actually come back to us because they kind of understand of the current situation. But yeah, some they try to look for cheaper place to eat. That's what is happening to us now.
So the government has announced several measures, including a temporary stop to chicken exports, the removal of APs for food imports. Do these measures provide any immediate short-term relief to you as a business owner? I mean, are these meaningful for you?
I feel that the government is trying their best at the moment to actually help everyone, but I hope that they will be more proactive in looking into all food ingredient sectors, because this is not the first time, and the prices of raw ingredients are going up quite drastically. So yeah, they should actually assist this, to look into this matter to assist everyone, especially to help the right. If not, more of us will actually have to fork out more cash to pay for more food.
Are there particular measures that you'd like to see the government put in place, particularly to help people like you?
Maybe I have not thought about that, but I feel that in their own power, they should actually look into from the supply chain, you know, the top of the supply chain, as in like to actually see what is really happening to actually counter the problems, so that we won't have to face this issue every month, especially in the price increase. Yeah.
Stephen, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was Stephen Lee, owner of Taimada Restaurant, talking about how the increase in food prices recently is going to affect his business. We'd like to hear from you. Are you concerned about the rising cost of food? Is this something that you've noticed while out and about? And how would you like to see the government tackle this? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So we have lots of messages actually coming through. A split, I would say, between a restaurant-based suggestion and another that's more agriculture-based.
So let's start with the restaurant-based one, because I find it interesting.
Yeah.
Kamaran says, I'd like to see our food portions to be sold in smaller but cheaper portions. That way we get less waste. For example, the Chinese and the Japanese, they eat in small portions. It's healthy and it helps economically.
Yes, and actually Cameron also talks about the French, which is another interesting comparison to be made. I think that I'm not sure, you know, whether Malaysians want to go for this. I don't know, Sharon,
and whether even Malaysian cuisine necessarily lends itself well to this, because particularly Japanese and French cuisine, they're like high protein and they tend to focus on having sort of a main of something and, you know, bits of other things, which isn't necessarily how a lot of Malaysians eat. So it will actually require more than just adjusting to portions. It will require adjusting to, I think, even a different way of what we consider a fulfilling meal.
I have so many thoughts on this, mostly to do with whether or not, A, the customer wants it. And then the second part of it is whether or not restaurants or even casual eateries will do it. Because, of course, what we generally see is that the portions stay the same and prices go up. Mostly that. Or the portions go up, the prices go up. But we rarely see a shrinking of portion and a corresponding shrinking of size, mostly because I still think many of us are trapped in a very bang-for-buck approach when it comes to our food. And so I love the idea. I think that it's really cool. I wonder, though, whether restaurants want to do it and whether people want to do it. So as a side question, we've been asking you whether you're worried about the rising cost of food and what you want to see done. But I'm also curious to know, would you like to see food sold in smaller but cheaper portions? Do you think that this would work? Again, that number to call is 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at PFM Radio. Now to the larger systemic conversation that's happening.
Right. So we have this anonymous listener who says many Malaysians would like to engage in agriculture food production, for instance, planting vegetables or farming livestock. However, land is hard to get. Even the vegetable planters in Cameron Highlands or pomelo planters in Tambon, who have worked on the land for decades, face uncertainty in renewing the TOL, not to mention permanent land titles. Many of our vegetable planters are illegal land encroachers. The government should facilitate the youth to engage in agricultural food production, for instance, giving out state land and financial aid and minimizing red tape.
Great points. I think really important points being brought up. And honestly, every single time that we have had a conversation about agriculture in any way or form on our show, whether it's in the context of food or in the context of the government trying to encourage more people to get into it as an industry, this issue of land has come up. And I think that it is very important, partly because it is this version of job security, isn't it? And so, and you need to know that you will be able to farm the land, that is the phrase, and that the land is in fact there for you. The other part of it is facilitating younger people to engage in agricultural food production. I actually think that there is an interest here.
No, I do think so. And I think it actually has to do with making it a respectable, attractive option and offering the kinds of incentives to for people to see a long-term worth in getting into an industry that I think maybe perhaps a bit of discomfort for a lot of young people to begin with.
Yes. And again, this goes hand in hand with the other conversations we've been having about incorporating more digital technology. So on the one hand, while you're pushing IR 4.0, you know, all these different ways in which we are digitizing, I don't think we necessarily need to think about the agricultural industry or farming as separate to that. It's actually very much part and parcel. Carl says it's a supply-demand balance. The food costs will continue to rise to a level high enough for more people to work in the agriculture or food sector.
Oh, well, that's an interesting one, right? Because I completely agree that actually we do need to be paying people in our agricultural sector better. Mm. But I do think that there need to be mechanisms put in place to ensure that this doesn't, there's a term for it, where a market suddenly faces a huge upsurge in pricing, because then it just becomes untenable.
Cameron is back. Who mentioned earlier wanting food portions to be sold in smaller but cheaper portions and saying, if they want more, then buy two. So there is that. But again, we are asking that question as well, right? About whether or not you think that food portions sold in smaller but cheaper portions might be a way to get around this situation and also perhaps mitigate some future issues. We do have Yem responding to that.
Yum says, most food business owners treat this as a lucrative business, which demands at least 150 to 200% profit. They should sell more to earn more, not the other way around. RM2 ringgit 50 cents for a roti kosong is too much.
So again, while we're talking about business, right, and F&B and what the model, not what the model currently is, but what the model should be. And this question of volume is something that's coming through loud and clear in the messages. Let us know, again, we're talking about, at this point, a number of different questions. So are you worried about the rising cost of food? How would you like to see the government tackle this? And also, would you agree with a previous suggestion from Cameroon that we should move towards a model where people are sold smaller but cheaper portions of food? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. And today we're talking about food supply, prices, security, inflation. It's a lot, not all of it is good. And we've been asking you whether you're worried about the rising prices of food, how you'd like to see the government tackle this, and also kind of a side mission, because one of our listeners opened up, Cameron actually opened up this question earlier about whether or not maybe smaller portions, cheaper prices might be a way to mitigate this and also just a way to be healthier in general. And we wanted to hear from you whether or not you thought that was the way to go. So if you'd like to weigh in on any of these issues, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So our messages are split between these questions. Let's start with the smaller portion, cheaper price answers.
I have to say largely split opinions on this. So we have Norman who says, yes, please, smaller portion, cheaper price. I can't drink a full glass of teh tarik at the mama. I only drink half because I'm health conscious.
So there you go. I do think that sometimes smaller sizes are what I want, especially when it comes to sweet drinks. But then also I just ask for it kosong. So there is that as well. But broadly speaking, some items I think you could definitely size down, but not across
soups.
The board.
I often think of soups because sometimes I want a little bit of soup, not a gigantic bowl of it.
Oh, that's oddly specific. We also have William who says smaller portions at lower prices would end up profiting sellers more, and not to mention increase the amount of packaging materials. I actually agree with both those points.
No, I think that is true, right? And let's see. We have, on that question of it being less economical, we have Tan saying, smaller portions of food at cheaper prices may work if you're a smaller eater. But what if you work in a physically demanding job? Not very economical if two portions end up being more expensive than one portion. Hashtag food for thought.
Yeah, I think that that's the case. And this is, again, it comes down to, I suppose, thinking about what most people eating food at a lower price need from that item, from that meal, which is something that Boye is saying, who says adjusting the food portions to lower the price won't help much for us for us living in a stable economic setup, we will waste it. For lower income families, the big portion meal is most economic for them.
Yes, so I think that it really does depend on what kind of meal you're talking about, who is the person making this choice. And I'm glad that Boye brought up lower economic families, because often I think we forget that not everyone has the option to just decide to eat a little bit less.
Sriram says, totally agree with smaller portions for cheaper prices. So there you go. For many eateries, mask their huge increase in prices with large portions. Even 5 or 6 years ago, when the first 15 ringgit plus prices for food started appearing, they gave large portions to make people feel it was worth it. But in reality, all this does is create wastage and leads to obesity as we end up eating more than needed, just so restaurant operators can have larger profit margins.
So I noticed this especially with, I think, what they call the those items that don't add a lot but add a lot of bulk to your plate, right? Like mounds of fries, for instance, which end up, seeming like you're getting a lot more and you get charged for it as well, but isn't necessarily anything that's going to add a lot to your meal.
You know what's frightening? We say that and we take it for granted, right? But with the rising prices of oil, whether or not fries are even actually that cheap anymore to fry, I was thinking about it in the context of things like rice as well, how we take it for granted, right, that rice is a cheap food and so it's fine. But that's,
And the potato shortage, actually, we recently had a cutback on the sizes of fries at fast food restaurants.
That's why bread is also considered a cheap food. But then with wheat becoming an issue in the global food chain, there are all these questions about what we even consider like an affordable food. So we do also have messages coming in about how you'd like to see the government tackle this. But our next guest is also going to take us through that. So we'll return for those messages. But let us know, how would you like to see the government tackle this? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Also let us know, I suppose, if you want to see smaller portions, cheaper prices. Now, joining us to talk about this issue of food security is Tan Zai Jen, who is the research manager from the Asia School of Business, who has explored issues relating to food security. Zai Jen, thanks for speaking with us.
Hi, good evening, everyone.
So could you give us your impressions of the recent issues that we're facing with food supply?
So I think for me, I think the big issue right now, right, in the last, I think, few months, really the disruption in the global supply chain, right, especially including in terms of the conflict in Ukraine and so on. So it is not just, for example, Malaysia issue, right? It's actually international prices globally have increased significantly and really has transmitted, right, into the food that we buy every day here in Malaysia. So yeah, I mean, that is probably one of the largest issue right now.
So Malaysia exports, currently Malaysia imports 60% of our food supply. What does that 60% actually encompass?
Right. So I think to service, I mean, we do import a wide variety of food, right? So, you know, good guys actually look at the self-sufficiency ratio numbers that the Department of Statistics actually come up with. So we do import across the board. One of the big, the few items that we do have to import nearly 100% is, for example, wheat, right? Which our climate, you cannot grow items like that. So for those food items, pretty much we import all of it, right? But for example, for rice, we import roughly around 25%, for example. So I think that, and so on and so forth. So we do import a large variety of different goods. And it's hard to say, you know, what does it mainly encompass of? It really depends on, you know, what the kind of food that and our diet looks like today.
So how did our food supply come to rely heavily on imports then?
I think food has always been a very major part of international trade anyway, right? So, but another way of looking at it is this. Many of the food items that we end up importing really shows the sort of increasing wealth of our society, right? As we increase in our you know, household incomes and so on, we diversify the diet that we take. And therefore, that would mean that, you know, items that we may not have or grown in Malaysia, you had to import that, right? So I think in a way, it is natural, right, that imports we actually have a pretty large percentage coming in from imports. And that may not necessarily be the issue itself.
So the current shortages have been attributed to disruptions in the global supply chain. Now, having said that, are there policy decisions that we've made in the past that have contributed to these current shortages that we're seeing?
Right. So I think in my mind, one of the big issues that I think comes in is, I think, the lack of sort of cross-ministry kind of cooperation and so on. So it is not just about, you know, solving food or providing enough food. It's not just about production, right? It is also about securing the supply chain, right? And whether or not it's affordable to the people, whether or not it's available or accessible, right, to different communities in Malaysia, right? So I think in terms of our policy decision, I think it's more of a fragmented kind of a decision instead of not looking at the food and food supply chain and food accessibility and all of it in one big package. So I think that was maybe one reason, right? When we hit a shock, right, there's a sense of policy paralysis or even sort of very ad hoc decisions being made, right? Because there was no sort of preparation or thought given to this comprehensive policy before.
So on that though, we do have the National Food Security National Food Security Policy Action Plan. That's a mouthful. 2021 to 2025, which we're technically smack in the middle of. Where are we in terms of realizing these plans?
So I think you're right at the point, right? I think it was a good step forward, right? But I think in terms of its details and what followed up from this announcement sort of late last year, at least, you know, publicly available. It's not really publicly available, right? I don't really see, right, what is being implemented, what is the next plan, or what is the action plan even. There is a huge table there, but, you know, what are the details and so on. So there again, we don't really know, right? I don't really know what is that policy looking like right now.
We're speaking today with Tan Zai Jen, who is the research manager from Asia School of Business. And the larger topic that we're trying to explore is how to address this issue of food security in our country. Let us know, are you worried about the rising cost of food? How would you like to see the government tackle this? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll continue the conversation after this. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It is just about 6:50 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're continuing our conversation now on food security in our country with Tan Zaijian, Research Manager from the Asia School of Business. So, Zaijian, experts are calling for an agriculture-based policy to improve the country's food security. And actually, that's a tone that's coming through in the messages too. Can you help us unpack what that means and whether it is already part of the existing roadmap?
So I think what we need really is a comprehensive food security policy, which I alluded to, which encompasses things like food availability, affordability, you know, how accessible the food is, even in times of crisis, how safe, and you know, whether or not the food is nutritious, right? So I think in what we mean or what is said as an agriculture-based policy is not just about, you know, production, but rather securing the whole food supply chain, including, you know, all of the topics that I raised above, right? So my own personal fear sometimes is that when we say it's agriculture-based policies, oh, this is an issue of for the Ministry of Agriculture. But no, actually, it is really a cross-cutting kind of policy that needs coordination from all of them, right? So is it part of a food security roadmap? Well, at least from the action plan that we see, many of these issues are being touched, but whether or not how it is being implemented and so on, that really remains to be seen.
So the government is said to be reviewing its existing policies. What would you like to see in terms of a more in-depth review of?
I think to go back again, right, and to relook at that food security roadmap. So it looks like a plan, but you know, what is this detail? How is it going to be implemented? How would it be coordinated, right? And another big part of it is really in terms of, when it comes down to the user, right? How do you then also encourage healthy eating and so on, right? Things like a free school lunch program and so on, these things should be part of that roadmap. And to explore, you know, how can that be done again.
So if we talk about domestic production, right, is there a number or a goal that we should be aiming for?
No, not really. So we need to have domestic production or domestic capacity for sure, right? But whether or not there's a hard number that's there, I think there is none, right? Because we also have to be cognizant that there's always a trade-off too. So for example, if you want to aim for 100% of our rice being grown in Malaysia, does it mean that, you know, if the policy levers are not used, we mean that some farmers will be condemned to poverty because they can't go into or grow other crops and so on, right? So is that worth it, right? In the aim of trying to get 100% domestic production or any sort of a hard number there. So I think there is no hard number, and it's always about balancing also the trade-offs and also other aspects of security.
So if we talk about reaching that ideal, right, do we have the adequate skills and infrastructure to make that shift?
I think what we need policy-wise really to build and also rebuild. I think we do have the infrastructure, right? We did have the infrastructure in the past, right? We do or did have the kind of what we call extension agents, right? So where agents from the Ministry of Agriculture would teach skills, right, to farmers on, you know, to use, you know, better farming techniques, modern farming techniques, use different types of technology. I think what we need is to re-empower them and really, you know, bring them back, right, the kind of strength. And it's not just about adopting technology, but also about training people to train others on the field. Yeah. So I think we can do it, but really it's a deliberate policy that needs to go towards that.
Where would you like to see investments headed?
For me, really, it's about training, right? It's about, you know, training the trainers in a way, right? First, train the first level of, for example, agronomists or agriculture experts and so on, so that they can go down, right, and help farmers on the ground to really build up production.
So what other measures would go hand in hand with prioritizing domestic production of food?
Well, I think other than that, I think really perhaps looking also downstream, right? Looking at the supply chain itself, you know, whether or not, you know, farmers can get a good price, you know, is there enough players, for example, that can distribute food to all across the country efficiently and also fairly in a way. So I think these are the other policies that need to come in together with the question of production. So in a way, the whole food security policy, that comprehensive package that needs to be there. So it can't be just one or the other.
You know, in many ways, we're talking about long-term solutions. What is long-term solutions while we're in the middle of, you know, dealing with this existing issue and an issue that appears to be ramping up in severity? What is a realistic timeline to achieve these plans?
Well, I think, again, I can't say, you know, what is the realistic timeline to get there. But I think what needs to be done is there to start now. Right. That, you know, the planning, the implementation plan, you know, and engaging the communities need to start now, right, in order to secure a future. And at the end of the day, food and food crisis will always come and go, right? So there will always be, and also, in fact, you know, we haven't talked about the question of climate change and how it's going to be a threat to our food sources too. These things will keep coming. So therefore, it's really like keeping on the ball and start now to ensure that, you know, there's no sort of a end date, oh, we're done with this. No, it will continually evolve. But really what we need is to put in the kind of power, political pressure to actually get this done.
Zaijun, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That was Tan Zaijun, research manager from the Asia School of Business, who has explored issues relating to food security, weighing in on what it is we need to do to create better food security long term in our country. Let us know what your thoughts are. I mean, are you worried about the rising cost of food? How would you like to see the government tackle this issue? And also, are you for smaller portions, cheaper prices, which was a suggestion that came through earlier and has had a pretty robust discussion in the messages? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have time for messages.
So we had an anonymous listener whose message says, definitely worried about Malaysia's food supply condition. Our government should wake up now. Stop all the lopsided development focused on SMIs and SMEs around the cities. With correct agricultural policies and development, we won't be where we are now. All that money spent on solving the KL Klang Valley congested public transport and the increasing flood issues should be diverted to agriculture out of the KL Klang Valley area, spread it to other states. Also, when implementing these agricultural developments, the government should also remember not to add to global warming problems. If the young can be convinced that gentlemen farmers are also respectable, the younger generation may have a paradigm shift.
So I don't know whether it's just the young who listen to BFM or whether it is the young, but I feel like you don't even have to be a gentleman farmer. There has been like a genuine desire, and perhaps particularly one that's exacerbated by our climate crisis, by having been cooped up in an urban concrete jungle for 2 years. There is a definite desire, I feel, to move towards a different sort of life from a lot of people that I speak to, from a lot of the messages and calls that we get. So on that front, at least, I feel like if the opportunities are there, we can do it. The other part of it is correct agricultural policies. And that was such a big focus of our conversation. I'm not sure we're there.
No, I don't think we're there. I also don't think that we're necessarily harnessing tech in the way that we could be to make this a more attractive option for so many people. Edwin says, everyone should just eat sustainably considering broader economic, environmental, nutritional and health factors. Educate yourself on the food industry, be the change.
So I agree with that, but I also think it's easier said than done. The amount of times that I've pored through charts trying to distinguish land use in terms of which plant milk or which legumes are going to be better to eat than others. I agree broadly speaking, but I also think that that takes time, and that in the meantime, perhaps we should also be looking at other things, right, that could help with this. But let us know, again, what do you think? Are you worried about the rising cost of food? How would you like to see the government tackle this? And smaller portions, cheaper prices. Is that something you'd like to see our food market head towards? Let us know and keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.